The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 17, 1997 in Alachua, Florida. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Verse 29.
Yoga Bhagavat Bhano Nirvanatma Am Prayoditaha Kidrisa Kati Changani Yatas Tatva Avabodhanam Yo yo go Bhagavad Bano Nirvanatman Strayodita Kidrisa Katirangani Kidrisa Katichangani Yatastatva Varbodhanam Yo yo go Bhagavad Bano Nirvanatman Strayoditaha Kidrissa Koti Changani Yatastatva Vabodhanam.
Translation by the Divine Grace today is supposed to be done for 2025. The mystic yoga system, as you have explained, aims at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is meant for completely ending material existence. Please let me know the nature of that yoga system. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga? Report by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are different kinds of mystic yoga systems aiming for different places, phases of the Absolute Truth. The Jnana Yoga system aims at the impersonal Brahman effulgence, and the Hatha Yoga system aims at the localized personal aspect, the Paramatma feature of the Absolute Truth. Whereas Bhakti Yoga or devotional service, which is executed in 9 different ways, headed by hearing and chanting, aims at complete realization of the Absolute of the Supreme Lord. There are different methods of self-realization, but here Devahuti especially refers to the Bhakti Yoga system, which has already been primarily explained by the Lord. The different parts of the Bhakti Yoga system are hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, worshipping the Lord in the temple, accepting service to Him, carrying out His orders, making friendship with Him, and ultimately surrendering everything for the service of the Lord. The word Nirvanatma, Nirvanatman, is very significant in this verse. Unless one accepts the process of devotional service, one cannot end the continuation of material existence. As far as Jnanis are concerned, they are interested in Jnana Yoga. But even if one elevates oneself after a great performance of austerity to the Brahman effulgence, there is a chance of falling down again to the material world. Therefore, Jnana Yoga does not actually end material existence. Similarly, regarding the Hatha Yoga system, which aims at the localized aspect of the Lord, Paramatma, it has been experienced that many yogis such as Viswamitra fell down. But bhakti yogis, once approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, never come back to this material world as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Yad gatva na nivartante. Upon going, one never comes back. Chaktva dehang punar janma naiti. After giving up this body, he never comes back again to accept a material body. Nirvana does not finish the existence of the soul. The soul is ever existing. Therefore, nirvana means to end one's material existence, and to end material existence means to go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes it is asked how the living entity falls down from the spiritual world to the material world. Here is the answer. Unless one is elevated to the Vaikuntha planets, directly in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is prone to fall down, either from the impersonal Brahman realization or from an ecstatic trance of meditation. Another word in this verse, Bhagavad Bana, is very significant. Bana means arrow. The Bhakti Yoga system is just like an arrow aiming up to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhakti Yoga system never urges one towards the impersonal Brahman effulgence or to the point of Paramatma realization. This bana or arrow is so sharp and swift that it goes directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, penetrating the regions of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. Adihi Om Tat Sat. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter, 29th text. Repeat the translation. The mystic yoga system, as you have explained, aims at the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is meant for complete ending material existence. Please let me know the nature of that yoga system. How many ways are there by which one can understand in truth that sublime yoga? Hare Krishna. So Kapila Muni is teaching his mother Devahuti on the science of yoga. And he's revealing that glories of devotional service in this chapter, how devotional service can take us directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Instead of going step by step, the long and tedious route, one can directly connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through Bhakti Yoga. Gita mentions, Bhunam janmanam ante gyanavang mam abhadyante. Vasudeva sarvamiti sam mahatma sadulavam. That a Jnana Yogi cultivating spiritual knowledge may take many, many births before they come to the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme. In the process of Krishna consciousness, we are immediately going to this point that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that we are His eternal servant, Krishna Sarupai Nitya Krishna Das. Even that the process of devotional service is to be the servant of the servant, Gopi Bhakta Pada Kamala, your Dasa, Dasa, and Dasa. And that's why this yoga system is considered to be the most sublime. That's why Krishna Das Kaviraj in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Doya, Koroho Bichar, Bichar Korile Chitte Pabe Chamotkar. Analyze what is the great mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving. And if you analyze that, then you'll understand that he is giving such a wonderful mercy. You become amazed. By Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we can achieve the devotional service, which was otherwise quite difficult for people to understand or to achieve. Firm. Liberation normally takes many, many births to achieve, but by the process of Krishna consciousness, one can achieve liberation in this very life. Recently on the GBC conference, someone posted a quotation where Prabhupada was saying, I'm not saying I'm liberated or I'm not liberated, something to this effect, but I'm following His Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and He was a liberated soul. Because I'm following Him, therefore I'm liberated. Every one of Srila Prabhupada's followers, every one of His disciples, they can also be liberated simply by strictly following Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Sometimes there's so much question whether the Guru is liberated or not. Well, if he's following Prabhupada, then we take it that by following Prabhupada, he's liberated. And then we see that as soon as they don't follow Prabhupada, they're definitely not liberated. In this material world, Prabhupada explains that, well, in existence, he explains that there's a Nitya Baddha and a Nitya Mukta, right? There's the eternally conditioned Nitya Baddha, and there's the Nitya Mukta who are eternally liberated. So in the spiritual world, you have the eternally liberated souls, and then in this material world, we have the eternally conditioned souls. Occasionally, a Nitya Siddha or Nitya Mukta comes down into this world to spread Krishna consciousness. That's a very rare occasion. Apart from that, there are the Nitya Siddha. Apart from that, there's also those who are engaging their thoughts, words, and deeds in Krishna's service. Iha yasya harir dasya karmana manasa gira. Nikal vastasu jivan mukta suchite. Iha yasya harir dasya karmana manasa gira. Karmana means the activities, manasa is the mind, and gira means the words. The activities, the mind, the words, if they are fully engaged in harir dasya, in service to Lord Krishna, then, even while one is living, jivan mukta sa uchyate, you are liberated while living. Jivan mukta. So jivan mukta is different than nitya mukta. Right? That means that you are liberated because you are engaging your thoughts, words, and deeds in Krishna's service. Therefore, you are protected by the mercy of Guru and Krishna from the karmas, from the ordinary routine kind of effects of the material world. And for all practical purposes, you are liberated. The difference is the Nitya Siddha won't fall down, right? Because he's already completely liberated. Normally they don't. Where Anitya Bada has always fallen, but Jivan Mukta, as long as he continues engaging thought, word, and deed in Krishna's service, then he's liberated. But if we think, I'm initiated, I'm a devotee, I'm this person's disciple, I can still be liberated even if I don't engage my mind, my words, and my deeds in Krishna's service. Who are we kidding? We're cheating ourselves. As soon as we stop engaging in Krishna's service, it's very clear what happened. Krishna Bhuli say, Jiva Nadi Bahimok Atoy Maya Tadir Dai Sangsaradi Duk. Or Krishna Bahimoka Hoya. If we turn our face away from Krishna and now we think that I can get happiness simply by material sense gratification. Krishna Bahimokhoya. What is Krishna service? We are firmly convinced that there is absolutely no happiness, no real happiness in this world or in existence outside of this 9 processes of devotional service mentioned here by Kapila Muni. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Bandhanam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Agmanivedanam. These 9 processes of devotional service and the spiritual bliss and ecstasy that comes from serving Krishna through them are the only means of getting eternal happiness. And whatever happiness we have in the material world is simply an external illusion that for some time we get happiness, the same thing causes us suffering. Sitoshna sukha dukada. Now it's very nice. Warm weather here, so everyone wants to sit under the fan. Right? And if it's winter, then everyone wants the fan to spin the other way, not sit under the fan. Right? Everybody is so happy when they get married, and but if the marriage breaks up, then they're so unhappy. So the things in material life that give us happiness give us suffering. It's a fact of life. Therefore, we don't depend on material happiness for our satisfaction. We know that while we're in this world, there's going to be some happiness, there's going to be some suffering. We learn to tolerate that. And we focus our maximum energy on cultivating Brahma Sokyam Tvanantam, just as Rishabhdev told his son. That even the stool eaters, even the stool eaters like the dogs and the hogs, they are getting sense gratification and the happiness from that. So you, my dear children, you should try to get Brahma Sokyam. Get transcendental bliss. Because it's tvanantam, it's unlimited. Material happiness has its limit. Charvanas charvananam. Chewing the chews. How many times you can do the same thing? What is the due experience one is getting? Chewing the chew, getting a little juice. Not much. For a few minutes, and then hard struggle for existence. Therefore, Rishabhdev told his children, go for Brahma Sokam, go for transcendental happiness, spiritual happiness, because it's unlimited. But to get that, normally this is a great rishis and the kshatriyas, you know, hardly vaishyas or sudras had access. Few women could achieve previously. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
and Lord Krishna,
he opened this up for everybody. Everybody can be his devotee. Not only the big kings and brahmanas, Sriyas, Vaishyas, Satas, Sudras, Yete, Papa Yonaya. Everybody, even what to speak of the others, even the people born in sinful families, they can also take shelter of him and achieve all the perfection. But then we find even then how many people taking shelter of Krishna? In this world, how many people have decided to take shelter? Even those who take shelter. Lord Chaitanya said, Arda Mukhe Mani. They give lip service. But Karma Nahagani, they don't actually implement what they're supposed to. How many really doing? How many actually even just forget? Even how many are lip service giving that I accept pure devotional service? This is my goal. Even if we accept that this is my goal, we'll reach it eventually by Krishna's mercy. If we say, I'm too fallen, there's no hope for me, I can't achieve pure devotional service, so why try? Then everything's a failure. At least if we say that, I got no hope, I have no qualification, I'm not able to do the things properly, but I'm going to try, hope upon hope, try upon try, to achieve pure devotional service in this life. At least the desire if we have, by Krishna's mercy, we can eventually achieve it by Guru's mercy. So, that was the Lord Chaitanya's special mercy that He has given us this blessing of Krishna consciousness, made it available for everyone. Lord Advaita had made a special appeal to Lord Chaitanya. You see. One day Lord Chaitanya, he was walking and he saw the brother of Srivas. He told Srivas' brother, Ramdas, I believe is his name, that you go and tell Advaita Gosai that that Lord for whom he had been fasting, who he had been praying for, crying for, loudly shouting for, worshipping Tulasi, worshipping the Shaligram Shila with Tulasi and Ganges water, that Lord is here in Navadvip today. You go tell him that. For me. So then, Ramdas went over to see Advaita Gosai. And he went into his courtyard. You know, his Advaita lived like in Satya Yuga. He had houses and four sides. Says in Satya Yuga, their houses on four sides with a, then an area is, a courtyard area is created in the middle. Treta Yuga is three sides, Dwarpa Yuga is two, and Kali Yuga is single house. Which yuga are we in? See, now we put trailers in four sides. So, such opulence. One house for the kitchen, one house for the bedroom, another house for the living room. You don't get the noise from the kitchen. As they're cooking in clay pots. You didn't have to wash dishes. Right? Great job for the domestic, you know. You cook in the clay pot. After you finish cooking, and then you throw it. Disposable pot. And you serve out on a banana leaf after they finish it. No washing plates and cups. No washing pots. They're quite... How many housewives like that? So anyway, Ramdas, he came in to see Advaita Gosai. And Advaita was seated there in a courtyard with the Shaligram Shilas doing puja. And then he saw Ramdas. Immediately he jumped up. And he started just like loudly talking to him. How do I know it's true? Now Ramdas hadn't said a single word. Hadn't opened his mouth. And immediately he said, how do I know it's true? Anybody could say it. What is the proof? What are they just saying this? Because so many knew that I had prayed for him to come. Ramdas is walking back and forth looking at him, and Ramdas is like, how is this happening? And I didn't say a single word. He knew, well, Advaita Gosai is a little bit eccentric. Then Advaita suddenly sat down, looked at him. No, please, come here. What brings you here? And Ramdas had offered his obeisance as well. I come here to deliver a message. That Lord for whom you have cried, that Lord for whom you worship Shaligram Shila with Tulsi, Manjaris and Ganga water, that Lord for whom you have loudly prayed and shouted for, the Lord for whom you are fasting for, that Lord has come. And it's here in Navadvipa. Harivo! Harivo! Advaita Gosai jumped. Harivo! Harivo! I brought him! He's come! Harivo! Harivo! I have brought him from the spiritual world! He was so happy, jumping in ecstasy. But then suddenly again he became serious. No, but how do I know that this is for real? What is the proof? You tell him, I'm not going. It's too much. Ramdas, a simple devotee, you know. This is very intense, you know. He's trying to figure out, he's trying to be asked to deliver a message, and it was much more than he expected. If you tell the Lord that I'm not coming, I will go and hide in the village. And if he is really my Lord, if he's really the Lord of my heart, he knows everything that's going on. Without me revealing myself, he will call me. I will go and pay my obeisances, and if he's my Lord, he'll put his lotus feet on my head. And he will reveal to me his transcendental glory, his Satchidananda form. You tell him I'm not going. He looked and there was Sita Thakurani, his consort, carrying an arti tray. What's that for? He's the Lord. What is that? Who said women are less intelligent? She was right on the spot. She knew exactly what was needed. She was there. Perfect. And sort. So immediately, they went together and they hid in the village. So then, Sri Ramdas, he went and he paid his obeisance to Lord Chaitanya and he was about to tell him that he's not coming. But before he could say anything, Lord Gauranga, he just called out, Nara! Nara was a nickname for Advaita, because he used to always be shaved up. Nara, you come here, I know you're hiding there, you come here. You come right here now. And then Advaita, you know, came out. You come here! Lord Chaitanya was not in the mood of devotee now. He was in the mood of the Lord. Twice this happened. He came in a Lord mood. Well, with a Advaita Acharya. Srivas, maybe that one or two other times also. But, this is a very public. Not so public. Big public was Mahaprakash. So then Advaita came and offered his obeisances. And then immediately Lord Chaitanya came and put his lotus feet on the head of Advaita. And when Advaita looked up, then he could see unlimited Brahma Jyoti coming from Lord Chaitanya. He could see the Lord's effulgent transcendental form as Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of devotee. And Lord Chaitanya, in his Iswara Bhav, he asked Advaita, or told Advaita, that you have brought me here. You have called me down from the spiritual world. Now what do you want? You must tell me what you want. And he said, no. And when Advaita, first of all, when Advaita saw him, and saw the Lord, he started jumping, Haribol! 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 I have brought him from the spiritual world. I have brought him. He's come. He's come. Haribol! Gauranga, he wasn't going to let him off so easy. No, you have to ask, you brought me. Now, what did you bring me for? You have to tell me what I have to do. No, you've come, that's enough. No, I want to know, what do you want me to do? What is your request? And he kept insisting. So then finally, Advaita, he said, well, my request to you, I have to ask for a boon. I said, normally, the big Kshatriyas, Brahman, the big, you know, people, they are getting all their mercy and all your incarnations. I want that in this incarnation, let those who normally cannot get your mercy, the humble, the unqualified, the fallen, let them get your mercy. Tatastaha. Lord Gauranga said, so be it. And the second request is those who think they are very advanced, who think they are very proud of their situation, let them not get your mercy. See how pride is so dangerous. And the Lord said, Tatastaha, so be it. You wonder why Narottam Das Thakur is praying. Mosama papi na paibiyar. Why Prabhupada is saying, I am so crippled, I'm waiting for one of my disciples to take me back to Godhead like Dhruva Maharaj. Because that is the way that we are supposed to present ourselves, and that we should feel also humbled before the Lord. But these great acharyas are teaching us how we have to think. So here, who here is so highly qualified and that if we start thinking, you know, I'm very qualified, I've done so much service, therefore I deserve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I mean, I've been serving for 20 years. I don't need to chant Hare Krishna. I don't need to come to the temple programs. I don't need to do devotional service because I've already done my bit, right? Isn't that pride? Another form of pride? Or we think that I've read the Bhagavatam, I've done this, whatever, practically there's nothing you can do. All we can say is that we're simply dependent on mercy of Guru and Gauranga. It is so essential that we take simply the humble position. But it's so easy to fall into that feeling that I've done so much. And I was trying to analyze, I was analyzing this year that because now, end of the centennial, then we're supposed to reevaluate and see how to go forward. I was saying, I've been in contact with the Krishna conscious movement now for 30 years. Taken initiation 29 years ago. What have I done for Srila Prabhupada? What have I actually achieved? How good a disciple have I become? It's really disgusting. Really frustrating that there's so little that I've done according to what I should be doing, and so for myself, my personal realization that there's so much more I have to do. And I must have wasted so much time. How the time has slipped by. And still I'm not a qualified, really qualified disciple. I'm not able to do the things that Prabhupada really wants us to do. I don't know if everybody else does that self-evaluation. Then when I was evaluating and seeing how unfortunate I am, I look around and I see how wonderful all of you are. How you are serving Srila Prabhupada and staying in this Krishna conscious movement, and then I'm feeling so fortunate that I have association with so many Vaishnavas. And that by associating with the Vaishnavas, there's some hope for me. And if I can serve the Vaishnavas, from another point of view, that as a senior disciple of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada has sent us so many devotees, younger godbrothers or godsisters, as well as now the second generation of disciples, and then the so many children who are not yet initiated. I don't know if they'll be second or third generation disciples. Prabhupada sent all so many wonderful devotees, and how we have such a great responsibility to help them realize the great mercy that Prabhupada has given us. So Prabhupada has given us so much mercy. This year, when I was traveling with 50 devotees from about 12 different gurus, disciples, and some who have no guru yet, because after 5 years they haven't figured it out. Or they don't know if they want a guru. Then I came to also the understanding that how not everybody has the same realization about Prabhupada that Prabhupada disciples have. Not every Prabhupada disciple even has the same realization as you see. Just like we see the quote here, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate to keep this institution together. Some people leave the institution. But they don't try to keep the devotees in the institution, or they easily go outside. Even when they know that the instructions are not exactly the same as Prabhupada outside. And Prabhupada said even a slight difference, a slight little difference can cause havoc in one's spiritual life. So I don't know how much time already, like Gaur Govinda Maharaj, His Divine Grace, His Holiness, like Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he was taken away by Krishna, although he told some disciples that he had prayed to be taken back. He was disgusted that his disciples were fighting with each other, Indian and foreign and different things. I was told that when I went to the Ganesha by one of his dearest and intimate disciples. But whatever it may be, Krishna took him back. We don't know how much longer we have to stay in this world. In the Dumna Maharaj was in a very serious car accident. Somehow he survived, but just recently another devotee died in car accident. How many are dying? So who knows? And in the time, whatever unknown time we have to be here with the devotees, the Prabhupada disciples, how can we best imbibe in the other devotees this mood, this appreciation, this love for Srila Prabhupada, so that they can carry it on to the next generation? How can we show the best example so that they'll be inspired to do that? And then we had so many failures that we didn't take care of our Gurukul children properly, and many years ago. Now we hope that things have improved a lot. It seems to have improved, but obsolescence, the plant was with extinction, endangered species. We're all on the way out to get whatever nectar, whatever realization, whatever vibration that Prabhupada has given to any of them, get that. And take it within your heart and keep it alive. Keep the flame growing. Maya simply put out the flame. And we have to, by our own initiative and by our own endeavor and by our own consciousness, we have to keep the flame alive. We have to keep it burning. The flame of desiring to serve Krishna. Namasastang manumapi sati putrang atra sarupam tasyagajan purupuring maturing goshtavatin. Radha Krishna. Radha Kunda Giri Varam Aho Radhika Madhavasam Yasya Praptam Patita Kripaya Sri Gunung Tang Natosam. Raghunath Das, this was a prayer he gave to his initiating guru, it seems, the spiritual master. And this was a favorite prayer of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that I offer my Yasya Praptam Patita Kripaya Sri Gurung Tang Natosam. I'm offering all my obeisances to my spiritual master for having given me all the previous things mentioned. Starting from the Harinam, Nama, Sestam, Manumapi, the Gayatri Mantra, then Namasana Manumapi, then it goes through the whole list. He got Srup Damodar's associate Rupa, Sanatan Goswami, the older brother, then he got associates of all the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, and then he got the Govardhan Hill, he got the Radhakunda, and then at the end, like the most important, is the Aho Radhika Madhavasam. He got the desire to serve Radha and Madhava. The actual desire to serve Radha and Madhava, to serve Gaur Nithai, to serve Guru and Gauranga, that desire is the most important jewel. Most people have the desire to simply rub the skin together and get some kind of sense gratification, which is available in the animal kingdom. But to actually have the desire to taste the transcendental nectar of the ocean of bliss of serving Radha and Madhava, of serving Radha and Krishna, Gaur Nithai, that is a special gift that we can get from the spiritual master. Prabhupada has handed that down. Everyone should try to get it. If they have it, they should guard it. Guard it like, you know, more than Fort Knox. We should guard it like anything. Don't let anything take away that jewel from you. Not your television set, not the gossiping neighbors, not the envious people, not the sense gratificatory attractions of the material world, not anything. Not your laziness. Protect it as the priceless treasure it is. How to give that treasure down to all the Vaishnavas? Kapila Muni is giving that treasure to his mother. That's his mercy. He was eager to hear. So in the same way, we need to hand down, we need to... Yeah, of course, Mother Devahuti, she wanted to get. The Lord is, if they're eager to get, then it's easy to give. We should get, we should give the whole point of Krishna consciousness. Even though so crippled, but surely we got so much from Srila Prabhupada, and whatever we have, we should give that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any question? Comment? Hare Krishna. Hare Varaka Prabhu. Process of bhakti easily has liberation. Yes. Shivan Mukta. Lord Krishna very rarely awards pure devotion, but Lord Chaitanya is giving it out freely. The question was, Krishna gives liberation easily, but not pure devotion. But Lord Chaitanya is giving us devotion. The thing is that so we get it so easily sometimes. We get desire for chanting, we get a taste, we don't realize how important that is. If we keep fanning that fire, and let it grow and grow, it will burn up all the material desire, it will flood our heart. But what happens is that, I'm sure some of you here make sprouts. Anybody here knows how to make sprouts? First you have to soak the beans. Now if you don't take the beans out of the water, what happens? Do they sprout? No. They rot. They finish. In fact, they won't sprout at all. But if you soak them nicely, then you take them out, what happens? They sprout. Is that in devotional service, the whole secret, we're getting devotional service, but you have to keep your heart always flooded. If you allow the heart to dry up, you let the flooding drip out or drain out or something, then so many, it's not been flooded long enough to totally burn out all the material desires. You'd be surprised how many desires can come out. They will sprout. And grow and flourish. Then you have the trouble, you have to pull out all these weeds that you've allowed to grow. Therefore, the secret is to keep the heart always flooded. And Lord, in the Panchatattva said, because they have flooded the world in devotional service, and therefore the seed of material desire had been rotted and extinguished and finished. That is the thing we have to do, is we have to keep the irrigation level enough. And why, you wonder why they have these rice paddies, why they always keep water? Because you can grow rice without that much water, actually. But the reason they keep the water is because when they make the rice paddy and put the rice and keep the water, no other weeds sprout. So the labor is much less. Very few other weeds sprout. So that's, it makes it very easy to get a good rice crop. And if you just allow it so many to not flood, other grass seeds and things will sprout and it becomes hard to get a good rice crop. So if we keep, we have to keep, it's like a minimum amount of water you have to keep. It's not that few, always the other grasses may grow, but then you have to pull those out. So that's why the regular daily festival we have in the morning program, and why getting some regular association from the devotees, chanting our round of japa every day. And then even the things, other things we do, even the things that we have material desires for, we dovetail that. Okay, we have a desire for a family. So we make a family for Krishna. We know that I'm having these desires, so let me do this for Krishna. Let me have a family for Krishna. Then I can use this desire in Krishna's service. We want to eat, but we have to eat. We can't, if we don't eat, we'll die. So what we can do, that's also sense gratification. It's gratifying our senses. But when we offer food to Krishna and take prasadam, it becomes a devotional service. So we do the things that we have to do, or that we want to do, which are within the possibility of doing. It's not going to be a big obstacle for our devotional service. And we do them in a Krishna conscious way, and Krishna accepts that as a devotional service. And we get purified gradually because we're always staying in touch with Krishna. We're keeping our heart flooded with enough water of bliss, of devotional service, that the small quantity of happiness that we get from material sense gratification is so insignificant compared to the ocean of bliss we're getting from Krishna consciousness that we can easily be detached from that. But if once we allow that water of spiritual bliss to drain out, and then we are totally dependent upon this little bit of material happiness we get, which then switches over to material suffering, and we get depression and so many other things, then we're really in trouble. So the thing is to take the shelter of Krishna consciousness. We're getting that devotion very easily by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. How valuable it is, we should know from the verse you're quoting, that actually we take it for granted. We take it as something cheap, but we don't realize how valuable it is. You know, until we lose it. Some people, they have to lose it to appreciate it, and we don't want that. So we should understand this is really the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and guard it very carefully. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So I've been asked that tomorrow after Mangal Arati to do a japa workshop for the next 2 days. Suppose anybody who wants to participate will discuss on how to get forgiveness for the 10 offenses of the holy name and just some of the techniques about japa and a few tips, and we'll review if anybody's having any specific problems with their japa or not. And doing that because I had myself checked by Arana Swami and a few others, they said it. Okay, my japa. The point is that I committed so many offenses to the holy name, so much inattentive and other chanting. So this is a service to the Vaishnavas that I can help anyone else on their japa. I'm hoping that I'll get some blessing from the Harinam that I can chant pure unoffensive holy name in the future. Apart from that, I was told that tonight at 7 there'll be a CC class here right after RT, in which then I'll combine the CC class at the end of maybe a short period. The first half will be CC, and then it'll go into a little brainstorming on how to apply some of the instructions that the CC needs. You want me to tell that today at the CC class, or now it's already? What does everybody else know? Then they get angry and they're over. You have to. Do I get a rain check or do you want to hear it now? Who wants to hear now the story of Kanai Natchala? What is the Guru Kul headmaster? I was explaining how in ISKCON we got his temple of Kanai Natchala, and how this was a very important place because Lord Chaitanya visited there 3 times. But I didn't tell the pastime that made it the most important place, the more important place. That after Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, you see, when Lord Chaitanya, he came back from Gaya after being initiated, he would be chanting in ecstasy in Mayapur Navadvip Dham, and he would be telling the devotees that I got Krishna. I got Krishna and I lost him. I achieved Krishna but I lost him. Where will I get Krishna again? Krishna, Krishna, where is Krishna? He was feeling so much separation. When did he get Krishna? Where did he get Krishna? How did that happen? That was a mystery. So one day he told the devotees that, he told Sukumbhar Brahmachari that I'll meet the devotees at your house in the morning. Because everyone would go to his house because he had a special tree that gave unlimited flowers. So they just, why go around looking for so many flowers? Just take flowers. As soon as you took one, new one came out. Imagine a gardenia tree like that. As many gardenias take, new ones pop out. How many would you have? Like one gardenia here, one rose bush, one. So he had some kalpa vriksha, for flowers. So all the devotees would go there. So Lord Chaitanya came, and as he was approaching, then there was a tamal tree there, and he went and he just like hugged the tamal tree, and he said, Krishna, you're feeling so much separation. I have achieved Krishna and I've lost him. Like fainted on the ground, the devotees didn't understand what's going on. And then he revived Lord Chaitanya and then he told them, you know, let me tell you something, what happened to me. I went to Gaya. I met the spiritual master, I got initiation. He gave me the so much devotion. I was coming back chanting Hare Krishna and I went to this place called Kanaya Nachala. In Kanai Nachala, there's the lotus footprints of Radha and Krishna. And this is a place where Krishna's pastimes have been displayed and presented since ancient times. So Lord Chaitanya liked that place. It's a beautiful hill. It's next to the Ganges. The Ganges there now is about 6 kilometers wide, like 4 or 5 miles wide. Like the ocean. It's north of the dam. But even before, the Ganges was wide and used to flow there. A little hillock overlooking the Ganges valley. On the top of that is the Radha Krishna and the lotus feet. So Lord Chaitanya was there and he said, I went to the Kanai Nachala, I was worshipping the Lord there and chanting Hare Krishna. Then in the distance I saw one cowherd boy coming. Came closer, he was wearing yellow garments. Playing on a flute. He came closer. And I saw he had a peacock feather in his hair. He came closer and he was smiling. I saw it was Krishna, it was my Lord. He had the Kastuba Moni on his chest. He had the Sri Vatsa mark, that special whirl of hair that Krishna has. There's a special hair that's curled and has a little white streak in it. He was wearing those shark-like earrings. And it's by Janti Mala, gently smiling, play on the flute, his eyes mischievously, attractively glancing at him. All of Lord Chaitanya's hairs are standing on end. He's completely in ecstasy, seeing Krishna, seeing his Lord. And Krishna came closer and closer. And then Krishna ran right up to him and put his arms around him and embraced Lord Chaitanya! Gauranga! Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki! And Lord Chaitanya was just overwhelmed in transcendental ecstasy. He had achieved Krishna. Krishna was there hugging him. And he was smelling Krishna. He was feeling Krishna. Inexplicable how much ecstasy he was getting at that moment. Like Radharani meeting with Krishna. Then Krishna let go, and he backed, and smiling, he backed away, and disappeared. And Lord Chaitanya went mad in separation of Krishna, rolling in the Krishna, where are you? Looking for Krishna. And when he saw Krishna is gone, he's rolling in the ground, back and forth, rolling in the ground, feeling separation from Krishna. So that place of Kanai Nachala is where Lord Chaitanya's Vipralamba Bhava, Biroha, or Birohe, his separation mood, first manifested there. And it's, somehow, you see, there was a prediction. There was a, if you read in the original ancient, the old original 1930 version of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it mentions how this Kanai Nachala even mentions also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that was being worshipped by some Ramanandi, some Ramanuja branch group. And somehow they were worshipping, so it's like, you can take this worship as long as you can protect the deity. If ever you fail to protect the deity, you must give this over to the most prominent devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that time. You have to give it back to Lord Chaitanya. There's so many holy places, Lord Chaitanya. They're all the Sahajiyas, Nitai Gauradi. You know, everybody, we don't get, you know, all the cream has been taken. This place, one place was always under this other group. And 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, the deities were stolen. And the Acharya, you know, it's like, for 200 years that Sampradaya was worshipping, the deities were stolen. You know, this is it. Just now I have to give it back to Lord Chaitanya's movement. And he's praying, who should I give it to? And he said that Krishna came and told him, Lord Chaitanya came and revealed the Prabhupada and said, we have to give it to Prabhupada's movement. Prabhupada ki! So one day, I walked out of my room in the office at the long building in Mayapur. There's this sadhu there with a big tilak, Ramanuja kind of tilak, sitting there. So Prabhupada said we should serve sadhus whenever they come to Mayapur. I said, what service can we give you? Prasadam? No, I don't eat. I just eat fruit. You know. He was very austere looking. No shirt, you know, just the chadar and everything. So we can give you fruit, but I already ate my fruit once a day. Well, what service can we do? Who do you want to see? What brings you here? And he said, you show me a little slip of paper. Dayaram, general manager. I said, here's his office. Why don't you go in and wait? And don't sit here. You're an expected guest. Come and sit in the office. So we got him to go inside the office. And I told Dayaram, there's some sadhu here. You come and see him. After an hour, they called me in and they said that he's the mahant. The acharya, the guru, whatever, the devite, the proprietor, you know, not the deity, the proprietor, but on behalf of the deity, he's the owner, or the manager, trustee, for the Kanai Natchala temple. And he came, and Krishna told me, I have to give this to Islam, you accept. So we accepted. But we didn't understand the significance. We thought, okay, this is one of Lord, but you know, as we went there this time, we were reinstalling the deities. So we went all the past times of reading. Then we realized what an important place this is. And then, you know, the devotees started feeling, you know, the profound nature. We installed the deities. They're very beautiful deities. But after the installation, these deities are just like so attractive. Everybody's heart was just drawn to the Radha and the Kanayalal deity. And even to the Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he has a lotus footprint of Lord Chaitanya there. It is such an important place. And Radha Krishna's footprints are still there, the ones that Lord Chaitanya worshipped, that his tears washed, that his head touched and his hands touched. And the devotees are allowed to go and put their head on those lotus footprints. And they showed me this. So this is the place where originally the footprints were. Here's where Lord Chaitanya was rolling on the ground, right? So, alright, took off. I said, rolling on the ground to get some dust, you know, I need all the mercy I can get. And then the worst thing, for 2 days we did this wonderful installation, all the devotees were cooperating, at the end everybody commented that this time there wasn't a single thought of anything else but serving the deity, no politics, no lethargy, no anything, everybody was so focused. They felt so much bliss. And then somehow the person who made my tour, without thinking, you know, what this would do to us, he scheduled us on the day that we finished the deity installation, 8 o'clock at night, we had to leave and catch a 10 o'clock train. I said, this is how we have achieved Krishna, and now we're losing, you know. This is just too much. I tell you, I'm in trauma since then. I'm just thinking, when can I go back? It was just really too much to see that just to go through and then realize all these things are beautiful deities and then ripping us off. But after the Bangalore, I refused to go anywhere for 3 days. I'm not going to have it happen again. It was too much. Anyway, I wouldn't tell them that past time. The Lord Chaitanya revealed how he got Krishna and how he lost Krishna. And this is where the separation mood of Lord Chaitanya movement began. Yes? No, the ones that were stolen are missing. They were small deities, brass, and we've installed marble, Radha and Krishna, And Lord Chaitanya, we've also added. But the original, even if we get back, we'll use them as a Utsav Murti. Because they were quite small, Lord Krishna. I don't know how long those deities were there, but also it's dangerous. It's a very, little bit remote kind of place. Sometimes brass deities are more susceptible to theft because people think it's gold or whatever. Any other question? What's that? Tomorrow morning. Why not? How many here are we going up to the Nupani Hati Chiradai Festival? I'd like to take opportunity to invite all of you to also please come. We'll be telling the pastime there also. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.